Federal agency leaders are not the only people interested in cybersecurity anymore. Data breaches and cyber breaches make headlines all over the country. So preventing attacks, figuring out who's attacking you, how they're doing it, and how to stop them from doing it again is very important in the federal agency space. That's what we're going to talk about in the program today. My guests are Kelly Dempsey. She is the Senior Information Security Specialist at the Information Technology Lab Computer Security Division at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Mark Zalubas is Vice President and Solutions Engineer at Merlin International. And Bill Keeley is Deputy Chief Technology Officer for Mission Assurance at the Defense Information Systems Agency. Thank you all for being here today. It's a pleasure to speak to all of you. Kelly, I want to start with you. It's one of NIST's jobs is to define standards, and one of the areas that you specialize in is cybersecurity. As agencies have this mandate now on continuous monitoring, what goes into determining how we get everybody on the same page and understanding what continuous monitoring is?
Oh, that's a loaded question. When we defined the guidelines for continuous monitoring, we started building off existing guidance that we already had in NIST Special Pub 837, Revision 1. And even actually going back to FISMA, there's a requirement. They didn't actually use the words continuous monitoring, but they did talk about ongoing monitoring on an annual basis. And so it's not really a new concept. So we built off of all of those requirements, and we, you know, devised guidance on to help federal agencies implement. So, and that's as far as we go with it. Mm-hmm. We don't go into the operational phase at each organization.
Bill, at DISA, you obviously protect some of the most important information that the government holds. What has the continuous monitoring approach meant that you do differently or even think about, conceptualize cybersecurity differently?
So for a long time, we have been doing a risk management through certification and accreditation. The problem with that approach is it's more episodic. And those episodes can be 3 years apart where we actually get in and do a full assessment of what risk that we're bearing. What continuous monitoring does for us is it makes it a continuous process where near real time we are finding out what our risk exposure is. And then that risk exposure can be, the way we look at it, can be modified based on the most recent threat. So it changes our risk management approach. It changes our NetOps approach because we can now use our vulnerability posture right into the way we do our network operations on a daily basis. It changes our response to attacks going on. Because when we see an attack in one place, we've been monitoring across the enterprise to see where we have those same vulnerabilities. So it therefore can help prioritize our response mediation. So there's a number of different ways continuous monitoring is helping us.
Mark, this sounds like what they're both talking about is the transition that agencies across government are trying to make, which is let's get out of the checklist business and let's get into the actual security business so that I can not only say I've complied with everything, but our data is actually safe, which is a difference in what we've seen in the past.
There is a difference. We've seen that a lot of folks, they like the checklist approach because they can get credit for what they've done and they get the checkbox, but they're not sure, and everybody's got a different definition of what safe really means. And with the NIST standards, we now have a common framework to evaluate ourselves against and know whether we're doing something that's positive.
Kelly, his point, I think, was really good, though, because he mentioned what safe really means. And we can define continuous monitoring, some of these other things. None of that matters if the data is not safe. So is that the point at which you started? That seems to me like that's the end result that you want rather than we're complying with continuous monitoring mandates or whatever else.
Right. Well, Bill mentioned risk management, and that's the key to the whole thing is risk management. You can never get rid of risk and say that your data is 100% safe. That's never going to happen. So the idea is to manage the risk, know what it is, and that is the primary idea behind continuous monitoring, which is situational awareness. Be aware of the status of your the security of your systems and your information and make sure that you're doing as much as you can and that controls you have in place remain effective And so you're at least aware. And if something happens, then you're aware sooner, as Bill pointed out, instead of waiting 3 years till the next time you do an assessment.
Yeah.
You're aware, you know, now or in near real time of what's going on.
I do want to step in. One of the things about the checklist that I was trying to form, but it wasn't coming to me, is the concept of TQM, total quality management, is the concept that quality is adherence to your requirements. And continuous monitoring gives us that ability to continuously monitor where we are in a process. And then if we're within the control limits, it is quality, it is considered acceptable risk to the organization. So it really does become a binary eventually. You have to say we are within acceptable risk or we're outside of acceptable risk. And now over time, I think those control limits are going to get tighter and tighter. But what we're doing now is we're actually adopting a TQM approach to the security of our systems. And I think it's a much better approach than we've had in the past, which has been the more discrete approach.
Bill, just the idea of acceptable risk is a term that has taken some adjustment inside government because the government by its nature is very risk averse. So that concept, I imagine, was hard for a lot of people to get used to.
That's right. So for years, we've been trying to really get 100% protection, 100% compliance against a longer and longer list of checks. So what's happened is that's diverted us from the other aspects of risk management, our ability to not only detect but diagnose the attack, our ability to quickly do a course of action development and then distribute that course of action, and then our ability to assess residual risk. All those things, which all lead to more risk to your environment if you cannot accomplish them, none of them are done by checklists. So what we're trying to do with compliance monitoring is automate those portions, the checklists that are very structured, which is basically our network hygiene, and get that fully automated, move our resources to the more advanced readiness concepts to make sure that our risk goes down.
Now, Bill, the idea of 100% compliance is not just a cybersecurity issue. Agencies across government are thinking about this in a number of other ways.
Sure.
Part of the issue there is budget, because you can spend X number of dollars to achieve 80, 90% compliance, and probably about the same amount to finish that last 5, 10,
That's right.
15%. So how much of that is driving the decisions that you're seeing when it comes to how far you're going to go, and how much of it really is just data-driven?
So, you know, a lot of this aspect's been led by NIST and by the State Department in the risk scoring aspect. So instead of trying to be 100% comprehensive, we look at a threat-based operations and what are the attacks that are currently being used, and how do we prioritize those, put more weight on those, as we use our continuous monitoring to score the risk. So the concept is that we adjust the value in our computations of the most critical threats today, and then we emphasize that on our remediation, and that drives people's scores up. So that's much more responsive to the real world that's happening.
Kelly, I imagine one agency's 90% is not another agency's 90%. It's different for everybody depending on a variety of different things. What are some of the things that drive the assessments in from what you've seen?
Well, the idea we have behind continuous monitoring, and you're absolutely right. First of all, one size does not fit all, and that, you know, goes for private industry and government alike. And so our process is flexible, and organizations determine what controls they need on their own, what risk they have to counter. They make those determinations individually. And so some things that they look at when they're implementing controls, and how often are they going to monitor controls, things like volatility, how often are things changing, what's the impact level of the system. So if it's a very critical, high-impact system, then, you know, you're going to want to monitor more frequently and look at things more closely, put a higher level of effort into your monitoring. Whereas if the information is low impact, then, you know, you don't want to spend the money, and that's a way to save resources as well.
Mark, we just have a couple of minutes left,
sure.
But tell me how you help agencies understand that. What's that decision-making process like when you're assessing? Because I imagine, to take it down another level, certain types of data require certain levels of of security where others don't. So there are a lot of decisions that go into this when it comes to assessing
and
prioritizing.
And there's a lot of human assessment of the data. The risk isn't innate in the data. You have to look at it and say, to me, to my organization, how risky is this if this were to get out, if this were to be compromised or modified internally, and we would act on behalf of this. You can imagine if data gets out and the cables, and we obviously don't want to lose this kind of data, and so there's a compromise. But if the data is modified and I target the wrong place in the world because somebody modified it internally, it's also important. Now, what is that risk? It's a human assessment as to what that risk is, and with continuous monitoring and so many variables, to put it into perspective, we're doing a continuous monitoring project at VA right now. We're collecting 8 billion variables. So you can imagine that's a significant number of variables, and each one on their own really needs to be assessed as to how important is this. Now, the majority of them are not all that important. Some of them are extremely important, but a human needs to go in and determine, you know, how important that variable is.
Bill, you mentioned attribution and diagnosis earlier, and that's what we're going to talk about when we come back, figuring out where attacks come from and figuring out how to prevent the same kinds of attacks from happening again, and maybe even what we can learn from one that applies to something a little bit differently. We'll do that when we come back in just a moment. You are listening to Cyber Solutions for 2013 and Beyond, Stopping Attacks and Navigating a Changing Landscape, brought to you by Merlin. We'll be back in a moment.